Danger Talk, Season 1, Episode 11. Got the one and only Sierra. This episode of Danger Talk is sponsored by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app.
Welcome back to Danger Talk, fresh off the big W. Just landed, I'm guessing, from Philly. We got Russell Wilson, the reason you guys are all here. And Russ, dude, we have a super special guest today.
I know, we do have a guest today. And Jeff, you just mentioned we just landed. It's currently 2:08. Okay, I landed at around 5:30, had to take a COVID test as soon as we land after a win. Have to do a COVID test. We do COVID tests every day. And fast forward, you know, I get home around 6 or so, stay up. You know, it's tough for me to sleep, you know, after a game, win or lose. And my body, my adrenaline's rolling. So, you know, it's one of those things. But, you know, so anyways, you know, woke up, got up moving, doing some stuff. And now look where we are. We're here. Danger Talk. We're back.
Here we are. I'll tell you, everyone says you got to adjust to the new normal. You got to adjust to the new normal, whatever. I start every day with a COVID test now. It's just part of my routine. I have some waffles, some orange juice, get the little nose swab. I'm feeling good. I love it.
Yeah, so you're nose swabbing yourself, huh, Jeff?
Yeah. Sometimes I'll just brush it on my cheek so I ensure that I get a negative test.
Crazy. Where you at right now, Di?
I'm in Arizona, about to do some golfing, but I wouldn't miss today's episode for the world because, one, I love talking to you after you get off of a win. You know, you're a confident guy all the time, but when we just put that beating down on Philly, I'm feeling good. And like I said, we have a huge guest. Let's talk about the game a bit. You guys got off to a little bit of a slow start with the two failed fourth down conversions. When a game starts that way, I mean, how do you keep the offense and everybody positive?
Well, I think for us, we were rolling up and down the field. We just needed to convert those third and fourth downs. And, you know, I think we coach, you know, he was going for it. We tried to make those plays and unfortunately we weren't able to make those ones. But, you know, I think we were really trusting in our defense too, in which they were doing a great job the whole game, which you saw the whole game. They've been unstoppable, really. You know, in the past several weeks, ever since we got Carlos Dunlap and Jamal's been back, and our defense has been flying around, and our offense, obviously, we've been scoring crazy amount of points all year, being one of the highest scoring offenses in football. So we got confidence in ourselves, and they made, you know, they got a good defense over there, so they made two good, really good plays. But you know, I think we got right back on track after those possessions. And you know, I love the mentality. I love the mentality of going for the win and trying to find ways to win early, get ahead early. And you know, we could have played a little crisper, I think, across the board, but it was a good game to go to Philly. It's so weird, you know, because there's no fans out there. So it's definitely different, Jeff.
Yeah, in Philadelphia, there was no one to throw batteries at you and call you horrible names. This was a huge week for Russell Wilson, though. You had Thanksgiving, which I watched on your Instagram. It looked very beautiful. You had your birthday. And then also, you are the winningest quarterback in the first 9 seasons of any quarterback of all time. You've had a huge week.
Yeah, it's been a big week, you know, to obviously to have my birthday, which, you know, I had a great birthday and just chilled with C and just had some special time there. And then, you know, saw with the kids and hung out. And then obviously Thanksgiving. I mean, I think Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays, one because of the food, the mac and cheese and the turkey and all that. But I think just being around my family, you know, my mom came over and Sierra's dad and family came over. We all just kind of hung out and just walked the dogs, just did, you know, fun stuff that I don't normally get to do during the season. We had the day off that day. And then, you know, sure enough, we go to Philly, get a huge win.
And yeah, it was a great game, unless you gamble.
I know, right? And then to get to that many wins over 9 years, it's been a blessing, man. It's been a lot of hard work, and you know, you can't replace the hard work. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of, you know, great teammates. It takes a lot of things, great coaching, all that stuff to go together. And you know, that's why I play the game, Joe.
I love it. I know, like, if I'm the quarterback of the Seattle Seahawks, I'm looking the entire game for DK Metcalf or Tyler Lockett. Like the whole game, that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm looking for. You seem to be looking for DK early and pretty often. What dictates your decisions like that? How do you? Is it just whatever's drawn up? You look for who's open. How does it work?
I mean, I'm always looking for DK, but I'm looking for the matchup. Looking for Tyler. Tyler. I mean, yeah, I don't think anybody can cover him either. You know, so having those two guys like that, David Moore's been special for us. Having our backs back in there to catch the ball at the backfield. You saw Chris Carson got the ball early on a couple throws and stuff like that. We want to get those guys involved and getting our our playmakers involved. And I think that's the thing about our offense. We got so many playmakers, and you know, DK's making all these crazy plays. You know, he's the leading receiver in the NFL right now. He's doing some special things. And honestly, you know, he could have had almost 300 yards in the game. You know, he had the go ball that, you know, I think that we just missed on that one. You know, I think we just misjudged it just a hair a bit. The ball was, I put it out there pretty far. He could run fast, you know, so he got to put it out there. And then, we almost had that touchdown in the corner. So, he'll make those plays next week, and I'm looking forward to him.
How's the offense different with both Carson and Hyde back? Obviously better. We know that. But walk us through Carson's touchdowns, the second and long. Like, it must feel good just having those guys back.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, man, they should have had that one run that Carlos ran for a touchdown, got called back and stuff like that. But I think the thing with us, man, is it makes us physical. You know, it brings those guys, you know, hard hitting running backs. They're some of the best running backs in the game. So to have those guys who can run and catch, these for all the pass protection. I think the best play of the game was actually Carlos Hyde picking up that pass protection. They went cover zero, third and 13. You know, just had a great feeling. DK and I kind of gave each other a look. Boom, boom, boom. Next thing you know, they bring cover zero. You know, pressure. Carlos Hyde comes up and steps up and stones the guy. I mean, just stones the Mike linebacker right in the middle of the hole to allow me to throw the ball deep right before I got hit by Brandon Graham. And DK makes that sweet post catch. I thought it was a touchdown. He gets down the 1-inch yard line. But I mean, that's because Carlos being such a great pass protector, stepping up, making that play allows us to do that. So it was pretty big.
This has been a huge offense year. I mean, like, I know you're not supposed to jinx it. I don't want to jinx it, but you're playing phenomenal. The offense is playing phenomenal. The Seahawks, has been beautiful. But let's talk about the defense. I mean, they've looked great the last 2.5 games. I mean, they're phenomenal. If you count the second half of the Rams games, Cardinals and the Eagles games, just yesterday they had 6 sacks. They held the Eagles to 9 points before the stupid Hail Mary that drives me nuts that they even ran. But what do you think about their play recently? Give some love to the D.
Well, I think Carlos Dunlap's been a huge acquisition for us. He's one of the best players in the game. So his ability, he's so big. He gets the quarterback, makes plays. And then you think about Jamal and him fighting through, you know, being dinged up and all that. But just, he's a playmaker, man. I've never seen a safety get so many sacks. I mean, this guy's making plays all over the field. You know, and there's a play where the ball was, I think, tossed out to the right. He's blitzing off the edge. He flies out to the right, runs the guy down with Bobby. I mean, just the plays that he's making are remarkable. I think about Bobby Wagner. I mean, Bobby is, you know, over 100, you know, tackles again. You know, I think I'm not sure how many consecutive season it is, but it's a lot. And, you know, he's one of the best players to ever play this game. And, you know, I kind of talked to him about him yesterday, but him having that caption patch and for us to do this thing together for so many years, for 9 years, we always say don't get bored of consistency. And I just love how Bobby does the game. You know, he loves it, man, and he's just his approach is the right way. He gets guys fired up in the locker room. He brings all that, you know. He brings all that extra added thought process, and so, the person we're going to actually bring on today too, Jeff. I mean, it's talking about, you know, a fan of sports. You know, this person, you know, I think loves sports too. I mean, this person has done a lot. So do you want to bring our guest in here?
We should give some love to the booker of this podcast. The booker of this podcast has given us phenomenal guests each week. And she, big shout out to Jen. She's done I had no idea how we got this guest this week. She has really outdone herself. Getting this guest. I know her.
Shout out to you, Jen Ayla, for this guest.
Not as well as you know her. So why don't you bring in the guest, Russ?
All right. So, you know, I'm excited to bring this guest in. You know, I've been fortunate to get to know this person over the years. A person who has so much ability. One of my favorite artists, actually, of all time. You know, actually, my favorite artist. You know, I figured, actually, you know this person too, Jeff, right?
I know her very well. I worked on a television show with her. I'll tell you a quick story, a very brief quick story, is we were working on the same show together, and we had a segment where the Dallas Cowgirls were on the show, and I kept talking trash to the Cowgirls, and everyone's like, you're being so mean to these girls that are cheerleaders for the Cowboys. And I was like, yeah, because I'm a Seahawks fan. And then one day, Sierra, like weeks later, goes, you really are a Seahawks fan. I was like, yeah, Seattle, born and raised, baby. And she goes, come to my dressing room, and that's not a popular thing in entertainment business. You separate the girls and the boys. And so I was like, what is going on? And she goes, come to my room. And I come into the room, and you were standing there. It was the first time I ever met you. And I didn't know about you and Sierra. So I was like, what, did you do this just for me? What a treat. You went and bought a Russell Wilson.
Well, let's bring her in now. Let's bring in Sierra. You here? Sierra's coming around. Look at that. She's in her own house, Jeff. I don't know how she got here.
Amazing, you know, booking. Amazing.
Jeff gave you away a little bit by telling his story a little too early.
Sorry.
I mean, just a little premature, Jeff. I don't know if that's a common thing in your life. I'm not sure if that's a common thing in your life. You're a little premature there, Jeff. But
We don't. Not on this podcast, Russell. That's not the tone we like.
But
this is our only guest you've slept with. This is our only guest that we'll ever have.
Jeff. This is true. Not start.
You're married.
That is true.
We are married. Hey, first of all,
hi, babe.
Jeff, we've had some good guests.
This is going to be awesome. Hi, Sierra.
What up, Jeff? What's up?
I'm excited to see you. This is going to be very fun.
Yeah. So,
I know. First time on Danger Talk.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. So, you know, listen, I think that obviously you're my favorite guest of them all. You're my favorite guest, and you will forever be my favorite guest of them all. But we wanted to have you on the show because, one, we know you're a sports fan. So we're talking about the game. Jeff and I were just talking about the game. And you know, funny thing is, Jeff was just talking about how, you know, when talking about the Dallas Cowgirls and all that stuff and whatever you were saying, Jeff, I don't even remember what you were saying.
I can do that show.
Yeah, I can do that. But
yeah, I was talking about how I was talking trash to the Cowgirls.
Well, also, I would not. That was one of the ones I would not pick. And no one kind of knew why I wouldn't pick it. So I was like,
we were on the same page.
Well, we had three. I'm not getting in your mess, but we had three options on the show for I Can Do That for different challenges that we take on. And this is for those that are watching. But and so I was a cheerleader in high school, so I always loved cheerleading. But one of the options was the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. And it looked really dope. Like the cheerleaders are amazing. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm not doing the Cowboys on this one here. But
I think about like, so first of all, can we go back a little bit
before
we go too far in this, how, you know, how Jeff and how we know each other here. Yeah. You know, the first thing is that, you know, when I first got to know you know, I saw you rooting for Tom Brady.
You can finish.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish. I saw her rooting for Tom Brady, and I'm like, you know what? I like Tom, but she was rocking this jersey and all this stuff. And so you gotta explain yourself right here. No.
Rocking a Pats jersey.
You were rocking whatever you were streaming as Tom Brady.
No, I was at my house in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was around Christmas time, if I'm not mistaken, or Thanksgiving, somewhere in that time spot. No. Christmas, because that's when you start.
She's doing the running around thing.
That's when you get close to the playoffs. So I will tell you, I remember. Yes, I rooted for Tom, and I also rooted for you as well because you guys met up. So yes, that is right.
You rooted for both teams.
Yeah, because they had two different conferences.
She was talking about, you know, before we got to the Super Bowl.
She's
talking about, you know, the big game. NFC, AFC. And then she redeemed herself, you know, when we won the Packers game, and she redeemed herself. I saw her post of.
Yes. I was like, that's why you don't give up.
We got to let her off the hook, Russ. I mean, you root for other players too.
Well, listen, that game for me is one of the best footage you could ever watch, which is literally like, it was like Mission Impossible to. Mostly, I think mostly everyone, like it was just Mission Impossible. It seemed like Mission Impossible. And to see Russ literally like will his way into the win and like, you know, rally up his teammates and to see them dial up everything. It's like the best footage. You guys have to find it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got to go find this. Literally for me, I get so inspired every time I see it still to this day. It's like the best.
Yeah, it was a good game. So Jeff, quick, I got a question for you before I kick you off and make this one-on-one with me and see.
Easy.
So when we were, when you come into the back room and just so everybody knows here, Jeff's always been a Seattle Seahawks fan his whole life.
Yes.
I'm now just starting to talk to Sierra. You know, I'm coming up from San Diego. I'll drive up to LA to see C and I go to her show, I Can Do That, which we were talking about earlier. And I go to the set and I kind of slide in there.
We were keeping it low.
Yeah, yeah. So I sneak into the NBC set. NBC set, you know, back into the room whenever. And Yoli was in there.
Yep, Yoli. Kaya, my hairstylist.
So, you know, so they're in there and they kind of held me in there in the back room, kind of low key. And Jeff found out I was there. So Jeff, when you first knew that me and Sierra were talking, you think it was going to be something for long term?
I hoped it would be. Me and Sierra's dad hoped it would be. We were like, oh, the rappers and all that. Russell Wilson is a champion, and he's a good guy. And Jeff. I even told you can edit this out if you want. I even said to Sierra's dad, I was like, that's a good dude. I've never followed a pro athlete who literally sending out Bible verses on Twitter. He's up early. He's working hard. He's an honorable man. And her dad agreed. Her dad's like, yeah, we got a Russell Wilson. Like, he was happy. And I'm obviously a sports fan, but I'm a fan of good people and honorable people. And I loved working with Sierra because she was like a real woman. She wasn't just like, I work with a lot of girls, but I feel like Sierra had like honor about her. So I thought it was a perfect match.
Well, yeah, I love the show too. Yeah,
that was fun. You know,
the thing is, she's had this long black hair, this super sexy black hair. And so anyways,
this is my ballroom dance.
Yes, this is true, probably. This is probably where I should kick you off, because now we're talking about the good stuff here, Jeff, and we're going to keep it one-on-one. But, Jeff, you'll be back. But, so let's get intimate here. Take me to
intimate.
Decatur, Georgia. Yeah, yeah. I said you leave here, Jeff.
I'm out of here.
So take me to Decatur, Georgia.
Decatur, Georgia, that is where I grew up. That was kind of like my base, because I'm a military baby. And because my family's in both my parents were in the military, my mom was in the Air Force, my dad was in the Army, we traveled a lot because of it. But whenever I would go back home, I'd go back home to Atlanta, Georgia, which is where I'm from. And Decatur, Georgia is where I grew up a good bit of my early childhood years. And so that's where my grandma, they lived on Martrell Circle. A lot of memories.
We've actually been there.
Yeah, of course. Decatur, Georgia.
No, I'm saying you and I, we went to the house.
Oh, I couldn't hear you there. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we have. We did. Where did we go to? We went to my grandma's old house.
No, we went to.
No, I took you to her new house.
I think we went to your parents' house. We went somewhere else too.
My mom, but my grandma.
We went to your high school too.
We did go to my high school. We went to Riverdale High School, which was in Riverdale, Georgia. So that was my later years. When we moved, that was actually a big transition for me because I really loved growing up in Decatur, Georgia. But Decatur, that's where, you know, Decatur wears greater is what we call it. A very, very special place to me. And a lot of great childhood memories. You know, I think a lot of those years kind of shaped me, a good part of shaping me to be the young woman or young girl that I was going to be. And then also, of course, Riverdale. I went to Riverdale High School, which you did go to. You went with me. We went there when school was out. No school was happening. And that was a fun experience. But yeah, Decatur, Riverdale, Georgia is where I spent predominantly like most of my life growing up in Atlanta, Georgia. And then again, being a military baby, I lived in places like Germany. I lived in Monterey. I was also born in Fort Hood, Texas, which people don't really seem to know so much. But Atlanta was my base. Georgia was my base. Decatur, Georgia, and Riverdale, my two spots.
Well, I think about also, you know, I obviously, growing up in Virginia and not knowing you in high school, which I wish I knew you in middle school, high school. We may have more kids by now. But
oh Lordy.
But anyways, I think about you know, Jeff kind of talked about this earlier, you know, you and your dad, and I think about my dad, my relationship with my dad, and just how much he means to me. I remember when we first met. You know, I take you back there for all the fans who, you know, I remember when C and I first met, without telling too many deets. Maybe I should. I'll save that for our book one day. But when me and C first met, I remember I took you and I saw your dad and Baby Future but your dad. I walked into the place and your dad, he was actually wearing a Carmelo Anthony jersey, which I love me some Carmelo Anthony. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. Yeah. Shout out to Melo. And I said, well, your pops was like, "What's up, Russ? What's going on, man? Carlton, he's the man." And I said to Pops, I said, Pops, you cool if I call you Pops? He said, yeah, you call me Pops, man. You cool, yeah, you're a champ. And I said to him, I said, listen now, you're going to need to keep that Carmelo Anthony jersey now. That's a nice jersey you got there, that Mellow. I said, you're also going to need to get a Wilson 3 jersey. He said, oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah, yeah. And I said to him, I'm going to send you one. I'm going to get you one. But I've always loved your dad, you know, who he is as a person and just his energy and his heart for people. Mm-hmm. I think it's been amazing. I think I see a lot of him in you. You know, obviously, I know the relationship you have with your dad, Carlton, but can you tell me how significant that's been? Because I think about our daughter.
Yeah,
our daughter,
of course.
Sienna, and just...
Yeah, I'm a daddy's girl, for sure, hands down. And I've always been a believer that a father's love is significant in a child's life, and especially a girl. There's something about seeing how a man loves a woman, and in my case, how my dad loved my mom. I felt like that really had great impact on me. And I'm also a tomboy, so I got to like credit my dad for like my dancing skills. We danced together. You know, he was just always there for me. And we're so much alike. Mm-hmm. So that was, you know, really sweet growing up with a dad, like how my dad was, because we could literally do everything together. And I always looked forward to doing everything with him. But I feel like I got a good bit of my grit from how, you know, me and my dad would roll. And of course, my mom is super feisty and fiery. So I do have a little bit of my mom's fiery side
do.
Of me. Absolutely. But, you know, my dad, you know, I think a father's love is tremendous in a child's life, and especially a girl, because again, seeing how they love you, I think it's critical.
Yeah. Well, I think that's what's been amazing that I've, you know, learned from my dad, but also I've seen, you know, with your dad and you and that father-daughter relationship and how my dad was with my sister. You know, my dad unfortunately passed away. My sister was super young, and that was heavy. You know, that was heavy for my sister, for my whole family. But I think about when I think about your dad and y'all's relationship, and you know, how he lives out here now, and how I get to see him all the time. What I think about is just like how I get inspired, because I really want to love, you know, seeing our daughter, you know, the way that he's loved you and all the things he's taught you and how you've always felt protected around him.
Always.
And that was the cool thing. So, you know, going back to your dad, like one of the things that I'll never forget when I wanted to ask you to marry me, I'm old school, y'all. So I'm real old school. So when I knew I was going to ask you, which I knew pretty early on, probably the first day. But when I,
when you know, you know.
Yeah, you know, you know. But when I, you were actually going to Paris, and I had this whole plan set out. Your dad had just flown in. I was picking up from the airport, and we were staying at Malibu at the time. And I picked up your dad from the airport, and we were driving. I said, Pops, I said, can I ask you something? Yeah. It's just me and him, right? And I said, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, yeah, of course, always. I said, I love your daughter. And I want to get permission from you.
Why do I want to cry?
I'm going to get permission from you for her. You know, and see if she'll marry me and stuff. And if she's, you know, and are you okay with that? And he goes, hell yeah. Hey, let's go. And, you know, I just, that bond that me and him have had, but how much he loves you has always been inspiring to me. And I love that about him. And just, you know, I think about that, you know, just, it's okay to cry up. It's okay to tear up on Danger Talk.
You make me cry right away.
Yeah, but I just remember that feeling and just knowing that life was going to come together for you and I. Mm-hmm. And knowing that, you know, there's a little future there, and knowing that, okay, there's just going to be this opportunity and responsibility to love and to care for him and to you and for us together. And knowing that we had so much, you know, great support from your dad and Yoli and my friends and my family and stuff like that. And that was a special day. And I never forget when your dad walked you down the aisle. And I was talking about crying. I was crying that day. But we'll show that footage later if y'all haven't seen it. But anyways, so going back though, you remember our first ever date?
I do remember our first date.
Where was it?
The Georgian Hotel.
Yeah,
I won't forget it. Georgian Hotel. I won't. We had a little drive around to find like the spot.
Let's explain that a little bit, okay? It wasn't just go straight to the Georgian. And okay, go ahead though.
No, we had a drive around. We were trying to find the best spot. It was like, you know, later in the evening, and we were going around for a ride, you know, to find a spot we wanted to go and eat at. And we found one place, but then it was kind of like a lot of people in it. We were trying to just kind of keep things really chill. And so then we rode around on Ocean Avenue. Yeah. Ocean Ave. And we passed the Georgian Hotel, and it was super chill. It wasn't like hardly anyone in there, which was great. And then, you know, of course, you being you, you know, you made sure like the lighting, like you kept like you had, you made sure the setting was right before we walked in. And, you know, we kind of had the lights dimmed a little bit so we can really chill in private. And that was super fun. You had a cheeseburger. I think you had a cheeseburger. And you had this massive pitcher of water. Which I thought it was crazy because I was on my gallon kick. So it was like simple things in that date where I was like the little things we were doing the same thing, which was kind of, you know, funny and cute. But yes, the Georgian Hotel. Yeah, I'll never forget it.
So really what happened was we were actually, you were getting ready, you were rehearsing. And I went to the rehearsal hall and got to see you. And it was one of my favorite things to watch, just perfection. I mean, just pure perfection. You on stage moving. I mean, I've always loved you since the Goody days and so on. And I've always listened to your music and always, you know, jammed out to it and all that and listened to it. But seeing you in person, it reminds me of football. It reminds me of quarterbacking. It reminds me of just elite play. It reminds me of just watching somebody be so detailed. And so anyways, I was in admiration that moment. And then, so I picked you up. And then we drove around. We went to like five different places because we wanted to be low key. And so I actually got out of the car. And if you remember, I actually got out of the car. I had the general manager come out. I said, hey, is there any chance that you can dim the light?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You remember that?
Okay. Yeah, you said you dimmed the light so we could like really have a private moment. But also knowing you, because you're so romantic, you just were kind of making everything right, which was really sweet. And it was cute.
That was one of the best days. And then we went to San Diego Zoo. That was fun.
That was actually
one of our first public appearances. And then the White House too.
The White House. Yep. The White House was amazing.
That was actually our first like real public date. Mm-hmm. Which is a pretty good first public date, dancing with Barack Obama and Michelle.
And the Prime Minister Abe from Japan was there as well, which I really love because I love speaking Japanese. But we were having a good time. We jammed out that night.
Yeah, that was
good.
The thing was too is that I remember you wear that as my Aunt Miranda says, shout out to you, Aunt Miranda. She was wearing liquid gold.
Oh, no, but let's talk about what really was also really funny that happened that night is you and I going back and forth for the red carpet in the White House. Literally, I'm like,
you'll call me out like that on my own show.
No, I'm just saying that was funny.
Go ahead.
No, because I just know like, okay, for Russ, obviously he does red carpets when he's like in postseason, but that's kind of what I do every day. So we get to the White House and there's this whole section where there's cameras, photographers, videographers.
There's no red carpet though, guys.
But the person says to us, there's no red carpet. The person says to us when we get to the White House, like, hi, Russell and Sierra, you know, you guys go to the red carpet, da da da. So then they say the red carpet's that way. And then I look over, I see all the cameras, all the photographers. No, there's not a red carpet right there, but there is a room that's adjacent to that area that has a red carpet. So I do understand how you thought that that was the red carpet, but I'm like, no, babe, I think the photos have them right here. And so we literally go back and forth and people see us on camera going to the red carpet, the area where the red carpet was, and then back to the photos. Red carpet area, back to the photos, but technically the red carpet area did not have a red carpet, but I did say that was the case. So that was a fun and cute experience.
Well, I seen the red carpet around the corner. There was a legit red carpet around the corner, but I guess it was the beginning of the West Wing or I don't know. But anyway, that was a good night. But okay, so on a serious note, let's go back to, take me to the top of the car, your first music video, you're doing goodies.
Music video.
Take me to that feeling. I think about that experience and that feeling of doing that video and just how massive, being number one in the world and the feeling of being on the top of the world.
Yeah. Goodies was a really special record for me, you know, because that was my, my first introduction to the world. And I had a crazy experience with that record because even though I was a part of writing it, there was a chance for the record to be taken away from me. And I was like, I didn't know about the song being taken away from me until after the fact, but I knew when I had Goodies, once it was finally created, I was like, this is the record that the world is going to get to know me on. This is the one that I believe is how I'm going to start the party off right. And it was a blessing because I was actually on camera a year before this when I was graduating. the label, Air Assistant, cameras to follow me. And when I was graduating, they said to me, where do you see yourself a year from now? And I was like, I see myself, my super Atlanta voice, I see myself having a number one song on the Billboard chart. Da, 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 da. So fast forward to me putting out the Goodies record, which was a year later. And by God's grace, the song was number one for 8 weeks long. The party definitely got started right. But shooting that music video was crazy. It was my first video experience. It was literally a 24-hour shoot. I had never had those energy drinks, but I remember like at like the 20th hour, I was literally standing up in the bathroom. Like I had to go to the restroom. I was like standing up leaning like, oh my gosh, like I feel like I'm going to like fall asleep. Like I need something. And so the team gave me an energy drink and I'm like, when is it going to kick in? Like I was so beat, but it was a special memory because it was my hometown, my first record. And it was so much hometown ATL love in the video. A lot of my friends and successful artists were in the video with me. And, I'll never forget it because it really was the beginning of, you know, my whole journey. And it was an amazing way to start the party off. And Lil Jon produced the record. It was like the first song of the Crunk and B records that, you know, he was a part of creating back in the days. And a lot of special memories from that moment in time. And I'm forever grateful. And it's crazy because now I see kids on TikTok jamming to the record like it's a whole, like it's a new song all over again. So that's been amazing to see too. But yeah, that's where it all started for me.
Yeah, well, I remember listening to that song. I don't know how young I was. I was super young, probably, because you're older than me. To see
yeah, you was a baby.
But I also think about the success. And the reason why I was bringing up Goodies in particular was because obviously you've gone from Goodies to 1-2-Step to Rides, all these different amazing songs along the way. To Level Up, which was massive, and you doing that. But I think about the transition point, and I think about also being at the highest moment of, you know, winning a Grammy, to also having the journey of professionalism. And you, what year is 16 years, 15 years now?
Yeah, since my first album. My first album was 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're like 16 years now.
Right? So, yeah. So when you think about that, so... But the reason why I'm asking is because I think about the Grammys and the Super Bowl. You know, I've won a Super Bowl, mm-hmm. You know, been to two. Unfortunately, the other one didn't work. But, you know, what's amazing is that that's right where you and I met, too. Mm-hmm. I just remember when you and I met and I just had just lost that Super Bowl and we just started talking or whatever. But you know, after that Super Bowl, but I remember how you picked me up. Mm-hmm. I remember how you picked me up. I remember, you know, you just spoke life into me.
Let's go.
And
always
that was a big deal because I'm such a go-getter and I know, you know, how to overcome, and that's just who I am. I think that's who God created me to be. But I've seen the other side of it. I've seen the goodness of it. I've been on the mountaintop, and in that moment when I met you, I was in the valley. Mm. You know, and you were a light and a source of life to me. Make me tear up. You're a source of life to me. That really, you know, you brought me out of it all. Your joy and your passion, your smile every day. It changed my life, you know. Changed, I think it helped change my career. Hmm. And so when I think about coming out of that and what love and life and moments and things go on and everything else, and I think about the success of you winning a Grammy, you're going to win more Grammys coming up soon. You're going to do more great things. I'm going to do more great things and hopefully even this year. But I think about all that success. What's gotten you to the point of where you are today? Because I think about just the feeling of winning a Grammy. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me what it feels like to win a Grammy real fast? And then I'll tell you what it feels like to win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. But I really want to talk about where you're headed. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me that?
Yeah. I mean, I will say winning a Grammy, it's always been pretty much every artist's dream. Like that's like the version of your Super Bowl or like getting an Emmy or, you know, in acting. It's like that's the equivalent to that. And winning a Grammy is, for me, to be honest, it's by far one of the coolest experiences, but the world was going so fast for me, like literally Goodies and then 1-2-Step and then, oh, like all these records, top 1, 2, 3 records in the world. Everything is going so fast that at that time I was so young, I didn't really fully embrace the moment all the way. Like I was always looking to the next moment. And I do think you got to have a little bit of that. But when I think back to that moment, like hindsight, and when I was like in a different place in my career, I just said, you know what? You got to make sure that you you know, sometimes slow things down to really be in the moment and enjoy them. And so, you know, I use that moment as a lesson. It was a blessing and also an opportunity for a lesson to like, make sure you really enjoy every moment when it happens. Because again, the ambitious person, the ambition in me was always looking forward to the next move. But it's a very special moment, you know, and it's funny because now the Grammys are kind of feeling a little different than what they used to feel like, yeah. To be honest. I know a lot of artists have been speaking out about it. Like The Weeknd, for example, just recently talked about how he had like the biggest song, like some of the biggest songs of the year, and didn't get any Grammy nomination this year. So sometimes for us, the way that we look at things as it relates to Grammys is a little different than what it used to be. And it's like, okay, come back around to that old feeling. But I will say winning a Grammy, you know, still is something that I'm truly proud of. And I definitely look forward to, you know, hopefully winning more. But again, I got to make sure I like soak in the moment when it happens, because it was going so fast then, but by far one of the coolest, you know, experiences that an artist could ever have.
Well, I think about for me too, when I won a Super Bowl, it happens so fast. You're onto the, you almost start thinking about the next thing. You mm-hmm. don't even get into the moment, you know? And I think about that. I think about where you are today, and we'll dive into this further, but, you know, thinking about where you are today, obviously with all the music, which you'll have more music coming and more great things coming, all this stuff. But you're a businesswoman now. You're a CEO. Hey. You created your own record label, you know, Beauty Marks Entertainment, which we'll talk about too a little bit here in a second. But you created that. You did Level Up, that being a massive song. And, you know, you creating viral, you know, being so viral over the world through dance and, you know, and just how you own dance around the world. But I think also too, what I love is how the businesswoman in you, like I it's been really cool because I grew up around my dad and my mom, super business oriented and all that, but just watching you just own business and leadership and being a CEO of your own stuff. You being your own boss, and you know, you're wearing the shirt Love, Respect, and Care, yeah. Which I'm wearing it too. Love, Respect, and Care. And we got a huge announcement today too for you guys.
We do.
We just announced the house of LRNC.
Yeah. Fashion house.
Yes. The fashion house. So it's pretty cool. And we're doing business together, which is interesting because doing business and life together as celebrities is, in my opinion, a little bit different and sometimes can mm-hmm. be hard. And I think for any marriage, sometimes it can be hard to do business together. But mm-hmm. I think for us, we really embrace it.
Yeah.
And I think I want to bring on somebody that's been a really big mentor, and we'll dive into this because I know she's got more business to do later for us, but and with us. But and I want to bring on, you know, our CEO president, you know, Christine Day. Christine, you were there. I think Christine Day.
Christine?
I think Christine Day is on the line. But you know, this woman has been a mentor to me in so many different ways. She's been a person that has had so much influence and so much impact, you know, on me and my life. You know, I got to meet Christine. Christine, you there?
I'm here.
Okay, so before I dive into this little, you know, this little fun here with you, but what's really cool is that Christine, just for everybody to know, everybody who's tuning into Danger Talk with me and C right now, the reality is that me and C have just launched the House of LRNC, which stands for the House of Love, Respect, and Care. It's a fashion house. We're really excited about it. You know, focus on fashion, sustainability, and so much more. But, you know, what's amazing is we have Christine Day, who's, you know, our co-founder with us, one of the best, you know, people you could ever, ever meet, but also just one of the most brilliant business minds. And Christine being, you know, the former CEO of Lululemon, also, you know, helping run Starbucks and making Starbucks massive what it was years ago, and you know, how all that was. And, you know, Christine, I think, you know, it's important to bring you on here. I'm going to make sure I can see you on this camera. If you can tilt it down just a little bit, I think
There you go.
I want everybody to see who Christine Day is. But, you know, Christine, can you talk to us about, you know, obviously you were born in British Columbia. You're born in North Ireland, right? And then you moved to British Columbia. Yeah, you moved to British Columbia, correct?
Yep, I'm a Belfast girl.
Yeah, I love it. So talk to me about how you've gotten to where you are now today, and just, you know, all your success. Obviously, after graduating, you know, you worked for some amazing people, amazing companies, and all that. But you know how, you know, I think about all the things you've done. Can you take us to, you know, why it's so significant to have impact and also being a woman too as well, and being a business leader? Can you, because I think you two, you and Sierra, have a lot of commonalities together, and I think it's pretty cool for all people to hear.
Well, you know, I think I've been very fortunate in that I've always worked for, you know, starting out very early on for people who had a purpose-led vision. And that really, I think, my own personal ethos matched with that. And I think when you find that stand in yourself and you're willing to put in the hard work and do anything that's kind of needed, I think those are some of the secrets of my career and just trying to figure out the way through relationships and great people and always doing the right thing. And I think that's been my ethos in everything I've done, whether it was, you know, a job waitressing at IHOP, which I worked my way through high school doing, you know, to save some money for school, or, you know, and where I learned about customer service, right? And being on the front lines and what it means to be humble and work for your tips every night to pay your gas bill, right? So I've been in that space. And I think I've always had that deep appreciation for work and life and family and love. And I think bringing those things together in everything I've always done and staying centered in that has always, I think, been what's kept me at the forefront. You know, in school, education, you know, investing in myself and really taking the time to learn, to read, you know, to go deep in whatever I'm doing, I think is the other real secret. And I don't think that's any different than how you play football. Or what I see C doing when she does her productions and the details and her music and that passion. I think that's the common thread we all share, being deeply purpose-led and very detail-oriented about what we do and who we do it with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I love that about you, Christine. And I know, Christine, you remember when we first met?
Yep. Thanks to Derek Jeter.
Say it one more time. We do what?
Thanks to Derek. Yeah.
Yeah. Good old Derek Jeter, actually.
We met on the field at Safeco in Derek's last game in Seattle. And he had connected us through Mark because of both of our moms, you know, being so, you know, passing away, or your dad and my mom passing away from diabetes complications, and that common interest in you and wanting to be involved in good food. Derek made the introduction. I invited you to come to Derek's game, and they made me buy a suite because they wouldn't let me sit in the stands with you, so because you'd be too disruptive. So we had the suite, and we had, you know, that great time to just kind of connect and get to know each other, and then Derek too, who's always been so supportive of everything I've done and work and friendship. So just again, good people, good cause, good purpose.
It's amazing how that all works. And obviously you spent 20 plus years at Starbucks and your tenure there. And then, you know, you're doing Lululemon and making Lululemon and helping Lululemon grow into what it is and what it was. And, you know, and just making it a, you know, even in the midst of, you know, chaotic times financially in America, when you kind of took over Lululemon, which is pretty amazing to think about, and how you really kind of helped catapult it with the rest of the team to where it is today. But I think, you know, for us to have you, you know, join us with this venture, you know, obviously with the House of LRC and what we're doing. And, you know, what I'm fascinated by is, which I know, Christine, you got a lot of calls here, you got only a few minutes here, but what I'm really fascinated about you two, you know, women in particular, is because I think times have changed. And I think we're at the forefront. Christine, you've been a leader of this for years now, but I think we're at the forefront of a shift in the atmosphere. And I think what's really fascinating, one, to see you, Sierra, with, you know, Beauty Marks Entertainment, and you being your own CEO and kind of leaving the whole traditional record label thing and everything else. And you, Christine, with, you know, your ability to just make a business, multi-billion-dollar business as a woman and just leading it in such an amazing way, and who you are as a person, leading with purpose. And what I was really excited about with the House of LRNC and the launch of it was these two women, you two women, just mm-hmm. coming together as one and working together to, you know, I think we always talk about sports and music, the two most entertaining things in the world. But, you know, fashion is one of those things too. And obviously today is such a special, special day with the launch of the House of LRNC. And just for the viewers and listeners unaware, you can give some insight. You know, I think it's really important for you guys to know all the things that we're doing. But Christine and C, I would love, Christine, you can kick it off because I know you don't have forever to go. But, you know, obviously we have this awesome anthem video that we've done and all the things that we've been able to do. And Christine, can you talk about what it really means and what the House of LRNC means and what we're doing and where we're going from a business and fashion standpoint. And then see, I would love for you to talk about, you know, obviously from the you know, cultural side and just the fashion standpoint too, as well. And just what it means to be a woman in business and leading that way and being, you know, being your own bosses, being the people who get to be co-founders and leaders of it.
Well, I think the world is ready for, and I think you exude this too, but humble compassion, right? And there's power in that. And I think what we're doing with, you know, the house at LRNC, Love, Respect, and Care, is really about bringing love to everything we do. And it's love of the environment, love of the people we work with, and that whole unity and inclusivity. I mean, there's been a lack of that in the world today. And I think the younger generation is calling out for leaders to show them that it is possible to do business with this kind of ethos. And I think that's why we've all gotten together, right? Is it's about really showing them we're listening. It's showing them that you can create companies that care about all these things and are still profitable, but share. You know, I call it the values economic chain. You know, we create value at every stage and we live our values at every stage of everything we touch. We're not perfect. You know, none of us are, but it's a journey and we're willing to be on that journey and make that commitment and do the hard work to make those values real in everything we do. And we'll fail and we'll have to get back up. We won't be perfect in the journey, but we have the courage to try that journey. And I think that's what we all share together. And we pursue the perfection, but we're humble in the imperfection. And we have great people around us. Like, I couldn't do what I'm doing with you guys without the great team that we've put in place. And I love how, you know, we can be honest and we kind of tussle with each other sometimes and everything, but we produce great work, right? I mean, it's not easy. And there's a lot, as you guys have learned, that goes on behind the scenes. You know, a lot of good ideas fail. You have to have a good business model and you have to have the discipline to do the business, no different than music and no difference in sports. And so I think, you know, our ability to bring all of that together and the investment we've made in this great team who are owners of the company too. You know, everybody put some money in that's in the leadership team. And so we're all founders and that's how we talk about each other and what we live for each other with. And I think that's the beautiful thing about what we're doing and what you're doing. You're not just endorsing something, you're building a company that matters. And I think that's where the power comes from.
I think two things before you have to go, Christine, I would love for you to address, because I think it's super important. I think this idea of, you know, this idea of building this business in the midst of, you know, this pandemic that we've been doing this for me, you and C and the team, amazing all-star team that we have, the House of LRNC. We've been doing this for almost a year now and some change.
Almost 2 years.
We basically created a baby, you know. And we've done it really fast. But I think to do it in the midst of everything that's happened mm-hmm. from pandemic, and C, I would love for you to talk about this too right after Christine, but everything going on from the pandemic, the crisis that's, you know, it's going on. Why is it so important to have the House of LRNC to think about diversity and racial tensions and everything going on? Why is it so important to have this inclusivity and build this fashion brand? I think that's what people really want to know. It's like, why now? And I think about why not now and why it's so important for us. But can you explain that from your CEO business leadership standpoint? And also we can explain how we think about it.
Because, you know, we had that moment. We, you know, I had to get you guys on the phone and with our investors and say, you know, hey, you know, the world isn't normal now. We're going to have to, you know, scale our plans back, et cetera. And we had a decision to make. Do we go or do we wait? And, you know, we had that very passionate conversation about what's needed in the world now. And in dark times, you know, and when businesses are struggling or failing, you know, there's usually, especially in fashion apparel, there's a disconnect with where the consumer sees the world. And I think a disconnect is coming for fast fashion. You know, we need to spend more on clothing so that we know it's made with all the values that matter in the world today. And I think this is a calling to other companies to raise their game. you know, to care about sustainability, to care about how things are made and who makes them, and who can buy them and how long they can last. And so all those things, you know, on a fabric side and product side are needed, but more importantly, the brand stands for that unity, inclusion, love of self, your voice, your activist speaking to those Gen Zers, and they need to hear that voice now more than ever to give hope. And I think the things that we're doing with the flow codes and allowing, you know, people to actually monetize that with affiliate fees and, you know, hopefully give back on a bigger level, we're creating little economies and little business people through this new flow code technology that really matters in a way. So we're giving back not only to the Why Not You Foundation, which people care about deeply and they want brands that do that. I can tell you today, over 40% of the people who've bought on the site upped their give back. So it's resonating, it matters. And so I think those things all together, we're upping the game for retail and for brands. And it's a call to leadership to step into what matters. And I think that's as important as the work we're doing is the bar we're setting for the industry.
Well, what I love too is just how we've addressed a lot of issues. And I think a lot of things that are going on in the world through even our own company and building our own company, Christine. I think for C and I, you know, obviously being, you know, Black business owners and doing this together and then also having some amazing team members along the way, I think we've even thought about how, you know, how important it is to have diversity within our own company and making sure that we're building from those roots as well. And I think that's been amazing, you know, just the executive staff that we have and some of the, you know, amazing people that we have on our team, but also, you know, this also the video, the anthem video that we did, you mm-hmm. know, and how we accompanied that with the launch. And I know, C, can you talk about that, the anthem video, and just how much diversity means to that anthem video, but that also, Christine, if you can follow up. And
well, I mean, I think the biggest
thing. I'm going to have to pop, guys, because I've got my 3 o'clock, but I know you guys will do the more than justice to the next part of it. And we're all just so proud of Jamal. And I think the whole work the team's done on really representing the diversity of, you know, the Gen Z in everything we're doing and from who works from us and how we show up on our sites and, you know, really a lot of positive comments about I see myself. And that's what we want people to know and to see that they can grow and be powerful and being those role models. And that's what I love about you guys so much, because that's who you are to everybody. And I'm, you know, I love working with you. I'm so proud of you guys and proud to be your mentor.
Oh, well, thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine. We love you.
Christine, give me one sentence. If you could guide a young girl somewhere, what would the word of advice be?
It's believe in yourself. Find that passion voice where you belong and speak from there no matter what. You know, so it's got to come from you. It's got to be authentic and honest. And when you find that space and it resonates, then you know you're in the right place. And hard work will get you there from there. But don't ever work for someone who doesn't value you. That would be my other piece of advice.
That's good. Okay. Well, Christine, that's amazing advice. And we're
glad to be with you.
Love you, Christine. We'll it's an exciting day.
You know, when I listen to Christine, I think about the success of business and, you know, I think about who she is as a woman and what she means to society. I think, look at you too. You know, obviously you're one of the biggest stars in music ever and just all the things you've been able to do. But when I think about that, when you listen to Christine, like, why is it so important for us to launch the house of LRNC to you and what we've been able to do from a business standpoint?
Well, I think it goes back to the core values of what we're standing on, which is love, respect, and care, right? Love, respect, and care for ourselves. I think everyone, you know, in the world wants love, respect, and care, needs love, respect, and care. And something that we've also been wanting to, you know, really push is democratizing fashion and essentially empowering the consumer to be a part of the journey with us. And it's not just fashion, like it's also expression, like self-expression is very important. And especially nowadays, people have a desire, they have a passion, a craving, a desire to express themselves. And so, you know, when you talk about the anthem, that was our, you know, part of our mission to bring everybody on this great journey with us, right? To rally and cry, to bring everybody, you know, on with us, you know, it begins with one, it begins with you, it begins with us, and ultimately love, respect, and care. And so those are some of the things that I think about. And I just get excited because in our case, we get to express ourselves in every aspect of who we are. You know, obviously the most important thing that you and I love focusing on is impacting. And so, you know, with everything that we've been blessed to do, you know, whether it's visiting the kids in hospitals, you know, or everything we do through our Why Not You Foundation, like we genuinely get excited about, we're going to get an opportunity to impact someone's life in those moments. And whether it's just one, if it's one person, we're like, we did our job. And so I think for me, you know, that's what gets me excited about the House of LRNC. And then obviously the creative side, because fashion is a big part of my DNA and, you know, who I am and how I express myself, you know, both impact and fashion, like bringing those two together is another level of excitement because, again, we're able to do all of what we love doing. And so that's what I think about as far as like, you know, what you know, the importance of what we're doing, why we're doing what we do. We're passionate about, you know, both sides, impact and fashion. But then on top of that, another thing that I think it's cool for people to know is that the 3% of the proceeds that come from ourselves, we give back first before we give to ourselves. Right. And yep. So I think that's also an important nugget because, again, we want to bring everybody on this journey with us. And also everyone's a part of impacting with us. So it's exciting. We're launching a house, the House of LRNC. And then on top of that, we also introduced our newest brand, Human Nation, as well, which is super cool. Gen Z brand. As we said, sustainability is key. Street fashion is also a big part of it. And then also Good Man brand. Good Man brand is, you know, the first baby, essentially, that also resides in the House of LRNC. So it's an exciting time. And I feel super proud. I don't know about you, but I know about you that you feel the same way that I feel, that it's a very special day on every level, you know, for us in our house. As a team, and also again, as Christine, you know, having her on our team with us has been pretty special too. So I'm excited about the journey. I'm excited about, you know, being creative and impacting ultimately. I get super excited about all that.
Well, you know, you talked about how fashion's in your DNA, and it's definitely not in my DNA.
What? Yes, but, it is, babe.
It's in my DNA now. But, but you know, listen, I wish to wear the cargo shorts and the polo shirt. You know, I'm just saying that's all I wore. You know, now I, you know, I got a little more, style. Yeah, level up, level up. But you've definitely leveled up my fashion. And listen, I can't be out there. That's why I created Good Man brand. I couldn't be out there trying to be 25, 26 years old, trying to go on a hot date with you and not have my A game together. So I had to, it's easy for us to have the 3-point game. You know, it's, you know, the suit and the tie, the blue blazer. Every guy can dress up in a blue blazer and a white shirt and blue tie and look good, you know. Then you have the layup line where you can wear the Nike pair of shorts, Nike shirt, you know, shoes, whatever, you know, go to the mall. You know, every guy can look pretty good in that. But the mid-range game is where, you know, players make the plays. You know, you gotta have the mid-range game. And so that's why we created a Good Man brand. And we started, the reason why we named Good Man brand, we really thought about my dad just being able to give back. You know, and he always loved, he always respected, he always cared, he always served. And he always gave back, and he always talked about it. And so that's why we give that 3%, you know, back. And obviously number three, but you know, that just the idea of 3%, we've given over $1 million with Good Man brand, which has been amazing. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing just to see these young kids just go to college because of it. And it's been absolutely one of the most thrilling things to know that we can impact things, not just through sports and music, but we can impact it through fashion. Mm-hmm. And even though I was trying to get my fashion game right and trying to level up my game for you, which I did.
So silly. You know, you look good in a simple t-shirt flip-flops, babe. You can rock anything. You look good in anything. Yeah. So.
But so anyways, but I think to be able to, you know, put all that together and to give back and serve and give back was such a key component of what you and I wanted to do with the House of LRNC and the launch and what we did with Good Man brand years ago. And that's why underneath the House of LRNC, for anybody who's listening, underneath the House of LRNC, which you explained, is really there's going to be these good fashion brands, these good brands. And it's going to be, you know, Good Man brand, which we've been running for since 2016, which has been a massive business for us and it's been growing. But more importantly, we've done a lot of impact over the years. And so Good Man brands underneath the house. And then we also have Human Nation, yay, which has been amazing underneath the house. And we got more coming. You know, I may have something. You know, we got more coming, you know, something. So get ready. I'm not going to dance on my own show. But anyway, so let me do this ad read, babe. Can I hold your hand?
Of course. I'll
do this ad read. So I'm going to do this ad read and knock this thing out. And I'll be right back to you. Last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and prepare for this week. There's no better place to get in on all of the action than with DraftKings, official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you haven't tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store now, because if you don't want to miss this, draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, pass, and catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. Just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of dollars in prizes. If you haven't signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app now and use code DANGERTALK for a limited time. New users can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. Don't miss out on all this week's action. Enter code DANGERTALK to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code DANGERTALK, only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Baby,
how'd I do? You did great. Make it rain. Make it rain. Hey. You had your super professional voice on. See DraftKings.
But, so babe.
Yes.
Today's a special day.
It is.
Special day. We got to announce the House of LRNC. Mm-hmm. And what it means to the world. I think this idea, and Christine kind of addresses this idea of building this business, and we've launched our fragrance, RNC fragrance.
Yes, we did.
Which is amazing.
People have been loving that, which is really cool.
I gave it to my teammate Carlos Heiss. I walked through the locker and he's like, everybody's like, dang, bro, what's that? He's like, it's the R fragrance, bro. You know, and we were on the plane last night, and he said, my girl, she flying in. I told her, I'm gonna give it a C fragrance, you know. But it's been cool, you know, doing those date nights, those date days. Spending time, you know, this whole while you were pregnant,
nose was doing all
sniffing
of
everything, just be able to smell every, you know, thing in the bottle and everything else.
But I did have a nose of a dog, the nose of a dog.
But to do that, that was a fun thing. We've done a lot of business together. We've done Why Not You Foundation, Why Not You Academy.
Yeah, the Why Not You Academy. It's been an incredible time. You know, I think the greatest thing of all, when you think about our journey, again, impact, just being able to have the opportunity to continually impact is a blessing. And, you know, in a time where there feels like there's so much being taken away from the world, you know, it's a blessing to be able to give, right? I say that's what we've found great excitement in. And all of these things have also been able to carry us through the being in the same four walls over and over each day. And plus you doing football as well, you know, the combination of it all has kept our hands.
Have you got tired of me?
No, actually. You know what?
The quarantine. No,
I was going to say quarantine actually, like, really, it's a good test. I think it's a good test. I think we passed the test. We passed it. We all right.
You know, but on a serious note, though, it's been cool because, you know, everything that we've been able to do in this process has been cool because, you know, we have the House of LRNC now, which is a big day with Good Man Brand coming underneath the fold of the House of LRNC, which has been a great business for us and been one of those things that has been exponential growth. I think we're over 300% growth, which is fascinating to think about, you know, which has been a blessing in itself. And then, you know, when you think about Human Nation launching today, it's a blessing, and everybody can check us out at the House of LRNC. You can, you know, check us out and at the House of LRNC. And so I think for us, it's been really, really cool along the way to build business together. And I really cherish this part of it with you because it's all what I've always dreamed of. It's what I've always dreamed of is to do life together, to do business together. And I didn't always dreamed of doing fashion together when I was young, but I really wanted to do this process together, and it's been an amazing joy to do the House of LRNC, to watch you run the show, you and Christine, to run the show, and me to be a part of the process as well. And you know, I think it's been a joy, and I think it's been a blessing just to watch your growth, and but also too, as well as watching you do your thing with, you know, Beauty Marks Entertainment, and, you know, you're owning your own record label. And the last question I want to ask you before we bring Jeff back in real fast, but is the experience of you know, what would you tell, you know, every woman out there, every young girl, you're talking to Sienna, you know, and Christine kind of gave her advice, but you're talking about creating business, creating opportunity, being the best version of you, and creating all the ideas that you want to do. Mm-hmm. What clicked in that moment for you to want to do the House of Honesty? What clicked in that moment? Hey, I want to, you know what? I'm done doing it the old way. I want to do it. I want to run the show. I want to not just do the House of Honesty, but I want to own my own record label. Mm-hmm. I want to own my own. I want to create my own stuff. I want to do this. I want to do it. I want to create a school. Like, where did that all come from? And if you were going to tell somebody like our daughter, you know, Sienna, girl, you can go do it. What would that be?
Well, I always say no dream is too big. You know, if you believe it is possible. And I always say all it takes is one person to believe, and that person is you. So I think the most important thing is in life, whatever you choose to do, do what you love. You know, if you do what you love, you never work a day in your life. And for me, I just continue to tap into my passions, the things that I'm passionate about, that I love doing, that get me excited, because I really believe that those are the ingredients to success, right? That passion is what gives us the drive when the times get tough through whatever we're doing. And I think too, or when the challenges happen, it gives you that drive to like persevere and push through. But I think the greatest thing for any young girl watching is, like I say, no dream is too big. If you think it and believe it is possible, there's also power. There's the life and death of the tongue. So when you speak, say great things, you have a chance to tell your life story. So I think it's important for girls to know that, like, whenever you're thinking about your life and what you want to do, envision it, speak it, declare it, and believe in it, and just like literally put one foot forward each day. And I think the greatest thing that I've been able to learn is that, you know, while maybe there could have been the unknown factors that I probably wasn't aware of at different times, as I was on my mission as a woman, you know, I always want for every girl to know that your gender nor the color of your skin will determine how far you can and will go in life. If you, like I said, if you believe it is possible. And so, you know, especially for women, like, because like you said, we are turning a corner here. Like, we can call a spade a spade. It is a new day across the board, you know, seeing Kamala Harris be the first female vice president, you know, symbolizes a lot of things. And so it's just a new day. And honestly, it's a blessing when, you know, obviously you're my life partner, but it's a blessing when you also, you know, work with incredible, you know, men, or in my case, having you by my side, and, you know, you also celebrating and, you know, and encouraging me along the journey is a beautiful and empowering thing, right? I'm already a believer, you know, that I'm a go-getter, but it's really special, you know, when you have that support, you know, as women. And so it's an exciting time, you know, and like I say, the color of your skin or your gender will determine or will limit you or determine how far you can go in life if you believe it is possible. So that's what I think I would tell our little baby CC, like, whatever you want to do, mama, you can do. If you believe in it, it's all possible. So that's what I think about.
She's got the attitude. She got a lot of attitude. Last question for you before we bring Beth back, but you kind of addressed it, but when I first met you, you were a single mom. Mm-hmm. And you had a future. He was an amazing young boy, 9 months old, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, how sweet he was and everything else. But I think about just, what would you encourage for single moms out there?
Yeah.
I think you're not just an inspiration to me. And I think as everybody's watching this, I can sit here and I love you to death. So obviously I'm here admiring you, but I also just listening to you. There's so much knowledge and so much wisdom. But from being a single mom, what drove you every day?
What drove me? Oh my gosh. That's a good question. What drove me obviously is my inner ambition. I've always been super ambitious, but you know, at that point in my life, you know, when you have a new being that you have to think about and be responsible, the level of responsibility is a whole nother level. You know, there's no room for error, really. In my mind, that was kind of the tone that I set. Like, there's no room to kind of like play around and like, okay, date here, date like, no. Like, I got to do my best to make sure I'm making sense of every step.
You have to find the one, is what you're trying to tell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you get to find the one.
That is absolutely. Oh, I yes, had to find the one. What'd you say?
I said, y'all heard that, right?
it was important to me to make sure that, you know, I was really, really thinking about everything. Every little detail mattered. And so, you know, I would say being a single mom, you know, I'm honestly really proud of that journey when I think about it, because those moments really were part of defining me as a woman. Like those moments were part of building my integrity. And, you know, I was rolling with Future. He was with me. He was my little teddy bear. You know, we sleep together every night, and we on the flights in and out to Australia. And my first trip, I went to, Ibiza. You know, I went on this journey, and it was like, you know what, it's time for me to also like love on me, you know, which I always talk about. Like I really truly understood the power of self-love. You know, and also just like pouring into myself. Like I thought that was really important. So I think, you know, sometimes, you know, it's a very vulnerable space to be in, you know, to be honest, because as you know, like my mom and dad were married for 33 years and I grew up seeing that. So that was like the way I saw life. You know, so it was definitely an adjustment, but I really was able to embrace the moment. So I think that's something that I like to, you know, encourage, you know, women that are in that position, like, you know, embrace the moment, right? Love on yourself. Because when we love on ourselves, and we can be the best for our environment, we can be the best for our babies. And so, you know, I was able to make some great moments and memories out of that season that I was in. And then obviously you came into our lives, you know, which is very special and very sweet. And God, you know, God laughs, you know, God had his plans that I thought I was going to be single for 4 years. Honestly, I don't know why I got 4 years in my mind. I was like, I'm going to be single for a while. Like this whole dating thing, I don't know. I got to just like, let me take a second and pause. And so, you know, you came into our world and that was that. And I mean, I don't know, maybe since you're asking me questions, you put me on the hot seat today.
Ask me a question on my own podcast. Go ahead.
Yes, I am. What would you say that, you know, your experience was like, you know, the timing that you also came into my life and it was me, you, and Juicy Man? And
I was about to address that if you ain't going to ask me, but you know, you asked me, so I'm going to address it even more. I think the best thing when I think about you and meeting you was you had this joy about you and this peace about you and the sexiness about you. Sexiness about you, this confidence about you that you didn't need me. Mm. That was sexy to me. Mm. You didn't need me. They wanted me, but you didn't need me. And in the midst of that, and thinking about how you mentioned how you grew up with your parents and I had grew up with my parents, but I've always loved a little bit of a storm. Mm. And I think that I had a little bit of a storm in my life at the time. I was single, you know, I'd been married before, and you had some storm in your life at the moment. And I think that without any rain, there's no harvest. And I think that you have to have a little bit of a storm to have real growth. Mm-hmm. And when I saw you, I saw the other side of the storm. I saw the clear skies. I saw the good days. I saw the sunshine. Amen. I saw it coming through. And it was because of how you internally were working through the storm. You know, you were getting into your safe place. You were getting into the place of who you're destined to be. Your language was right. I remember watching this video. You did the song "I Bet," and I told you, "Oh, okay." But I saw this video, and you were wearing your high white socks, your ballerina socks, or whatever. And I saw this video, and you were talking about, you know, just so much, and just how you explain things. And when I met you in person, and I just knew. I would say, "When you know, you know, you know." Kakiak, no, no, you know. But I think when I saw you, I saw what God wanted for you. I saw this glimpse of grace and love and passion, hence love, respect, and care. Mm-hmm. That's why we created the house, because of all of these core principles. I remember we were sitting on the plane writing down what is, you know, one LR. Of the few words that mean something to us. And mm-hmm. we wrote about 10 different words, and the first few words were love, respect, and care. And I just think that you were loving baby Future. You respected where you were in the journey, and you really cared for where you were in the journey. And for me, watching all of that was a blessing to me, because it was super sexy. It was super sexy. And yeah, you know, you had your long black hair, you had the long legs, and all that stuff. But I think more importantly, the heart that you loved and the mom that you were and just how you care. I always ask you, what do Sierra pray for? I think it's more so what I pray for. And what I pray for, I'll never forget it. 3 days before I met you, I wanted 5 non-negotiables. I wrote them down on my sheet of paper. And I said, I want a woman of faith. Right? That was the first thing I wanted. The second thing was I wanted a woman who was faithful. The third thing I wanted a woman who's independent. It didn't have to be Sierra. It didn't have to be a music person. Somebody who had identity, wanted to create their own. The fourth thing I wanted, somebody who's going to love me the way that my mom loved my dad when he was on his deathbed. Because my mom loved in through the midst of the storm. And the fifth thing was I wanted a woman who would tilt the room. You know, when you walk into a room and you stand on one side of the room, all the furniture shifts towards them. I wanted a woman who would tilt the room. You did all 5. And I wasn't going to settle for 4 out of the 5. I wasn't going to settle for 3. That's for dang sure. But I wanted all 5 out of the 5. And God, boom, like that, brought me to you. And that's when I knew. And so to me, it was love is what has been a blessing to do this with you and do life with you. And it's never perfect. It's never always great. Everything, every day is, you know, perfect. But I think that it's God makes it perfect through our imperfections and who he is and our imperfection stories and our moments. But I think that's just how he's done this has been an amazing, amazing story and just the beginning of it all. But I think that to have 3 beautiful kids, to have future Sienna and Wynn and to do life together. So, one of the first people who met us along this journey was actually my co-host.
Yeah.
Jeff Dye. So this has been fun, babe. I know. Jeff Dye, you still awesome. There?
I'm like,
sure Jeff's still there, but
I'm still here. I don't miss a beat of this podcast. Come on.
So funny, me being on this podcast is hilarious because I like want to like break all interview codes, I guess. I'm
you
like,
can. You well, can.
Yeah, like, I love you. I love you, babe. You're so sweet. You're the best.
You're the best. Jeff Dye's back.
Sierra, what are you talking about? That doesn't break any rules. You guys are 2 people in love with each other. You hold hands. You love each other. We like seeing this.
This is my podcast, Danger Talk Podcast with Jeff Dye on here with us. And obviously, CB on here. But, babe, I love you.
I love you, babe.
I could keep talking forever, but I know people probably have stuff to do.
Crazy so. Jeff is up in the mix.
Well, yeah, I just know people have stuff to do, so they probably don't want to listen to us forever, but I'll talk forever about this. I'll have to write a book one day. It'll be fun. Anyways, first of all, Jeff, we just announced the House of LRNC. It's been an amazing journey. You've been along this journey with us, but now we got something fun here, babe. Are you ready for this? I love the 2-minute drill. You're a sports fan.
My specialty.
I love the 2-minute drill. Jeff Dye's got a 2-minute drill for us. Jeff, don't be too rude.
I'll never be crass. I'll never be rude. I'm just here for a good time. My specialty's fun, baby. All right, Sierra, you know the rules, but if it's a first time listen from your fans or Russ's fans, the way it works is we're doing 2 minutes rapid fire answers. And I don't mean to be a jerk, but Russ, you've been slower lately. You've been really taking your time with these. I need you to be quick.
All right. I'm going to give them to you rapid fire. I got you.
And that Mark Cuban one, Russ took like 30 seconds with one of his. I was like,
okay, easy, bro. Mark Cuban one was good. All right, this will be better.
Friends hold each other.
I like taking my time with C. Keep going, Jeff.
All right, here we go. We're going to do the 2-minute drill. Sierra, I'm coming to you first, and then it'll go to Russ, and then I'll just do the right next question. You guys ready?
Let's get it.
All right. 2 minutes on the clock. And, okay, go-to dance move, Sierra.
Go-to dance move, 1-2-step.
Okay.
I don't dance. I don't dance.
I thought you were gonna say pocket shuffle. Whatever. All right, baseball.
Oh no, the level up dance. Sorry, shoot.
Okay, baseball or football?
Football.
Favorite holiday?
Christmas.
Okay. Favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Ooh, stuffing.
Mac and cheese.
Nice. Russ is quick today. Favorite dessert of all time, not just Thanksgiving.
Ooh, that's hard. I don't have just one dish, but I would say brownie and ice cream, chocolate chip cookie in a skillet, or peach cobbler.
Wow. All right. She named all the desserts. Russ?
Hot, warm chocolate chip cookies.
Nice. First job.
Oh, my gosh. I never really had a true job. I worked, one of my friends, her aunt had a stand, hot dog stand at a baseball field at the Turner Stadium in Atlanta. And I would help, sell the hot dogs.
Hot dog. You're mowing grass.
All right. First celebrity crush.
That might have, my celebrity crush might have been like, is my inspiration too, is probably Michael Jackson.
Oh, wow. All right.
My first celebrity crush. I'd probably say Pamela Anderson.
Okay.
But listen, I I'll have to explain that later.
Celebrity crush, Pamela Anderson. She was bad back in the day, so.
I'll explain it later. Baywatch.
Come on.
What was your question?
First role model.
First role model? My grandma?
Okay. Good answer.
First role model, my dad.
Wine or cocktail? Do you like drinking a cocktail, like a margarita or something?
Well, I'm not really, I don't drink like that, but on a celebration, it would be neither.
Okay.
Champagne.
There you go. That'll count. That's like wine.
Or you can do like a fruity cocktail. I can do that.
I don't drink, but if I did, I'd probably say wine.
Favorite all-time musician, and Russ, you can't pick Sierra.
Michael Jackson.
I would go Michael Jackson too.
All right, last question. Go-to accessory when you're getting all dressed up.
Go-to accessory?
Yeah, watch, shoes, bracelet, heels.
Heels.
Hair.
No, shoes. Just shoes.
Okay.
Oh, so you can do the hair. If a woman's hair is right, the whole look is right.
I would say shoes and watch.
Shoes and watch. This, we broke all the rules. That's the 2-minute drill. I have never seen such adding of things. You know, she changed.
There's a lot of TV timeouts in there. There's a lot of TV timeouts.
That was good rapid fire, though, right?
You guys did good. You got good chemistry. I love it.
We do?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Yeah.
Babe, last thing here. Obviously, we have the House of LRC, the launch of it.
Yep.
Good Man Brand is underneath the House of LRC, Human Nation underneath the House of LRC. Go check it out, guys. But what's really cool is, you know, we do this thing segment here on Danger Talk. It's called Everyday Hero. And we always ask the guests. We've had some amazing guests in the past. And I think that one of the things that we always talk about with our guests is, you know, this whole process of the Everyday Hero and who's somebody that's been an Everyday Hero for you. Because we always want to give Good Man Brand away, which, you know, obviously we get 3% back. But is there somebody who would be your everyday hero, somebody who's made a difference for you in your world, and who thinks really special?
Oh man, two people come to mind, but obviously we're going to focus on the man. That's my dad. My dad would be my everyday hero.
It could be a girl too, as well.
I was going to say Yolanda. You know, my best friend Yoli. She definitely is probably my everyday hero. She is a woman like a fierce, no nonsense, intelligent, incredible woman, mom, and wife. She and I both shared similar journeys. She also was a single mom at one point in time. Her daughter went to UPenn and is literally dominating right now. And so in the venture capital world. So Yolanda, I would say Yolanda is my...
So we're going to shoot her out some men's clothing from Good Man Brand. We want her to wear some men's clothing.
No, we have Human Nation too. We also have Human Nation too. So...
Yeah, I was saying we have Human Nation, so we can give her that. I was trying to go along with the whole good man part of it. So yeah,
we're gonna send Carlton some pops, some Good Man Brand.
He's already loaded. He
already rocking Good Man, but we're gonna send him some more, and then get back here, and then Yoli.
Yep, Yoli.
We're gonna send Sean some Good Man Brand.
Yeah, her husband.
Yeah, we're gonna send Yoli. So we got it set. But listen, babe.
Yes, babe. This has been fun. Oh my gosh, I was literally like,
I was nervous to come on the show. Jill.
I know. It's when it's you and I don't know. I just get like, I don't know.
She's afraid to let her guard down.
I don't know. But so this has been a fun experience. Listen, we've had some amazing guests on Danger. Jeff Dye, we've had some amazing guests.
Yeah.
On Danger. So obviously we started off with Shaq. Shaq was amazing.
That was cool.
Him talking about his relationship with Kobe, his success, all that. We had John David Washington, who was amazing. talking about The Tenant and how good that movie was and everything else. And, you know, we had some other amazing ones along the way. Obviously, Randy Moss talking about him playing with Bill Belichick. And, you know, we had Chris Paul on CP3. We had him on talking, like Candace Parker talking about, you know, what it is to, you know, play basketball and being a woman and just, you know, the game and everything else. And who she is, Ken Griffey Jr., one of my favorites of all time. He hit the swing, Jeff Dye. The best.
That was my guy. I was nervous around him. Even on Zoom, I was nervous around Griffey. So that was like the guy growing up.
Yeah, we had Matthew McConaughey. Him talking about green lights. I mean, mm-hmm. Matthew McConaughey is one of my favorites. You know, he's got some really amazing insights. Make sure you guys pick up his books, Green Lights. We had Joe Montana, my favorite, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Joe Montana talking to us. We had a really cool relationship and all his business thoughts too as well. Mike Tyson was on. I mean, Mike Tyson right before his fight. And first of all, that fight was interesting to watch too. And just Mike was definitely more in shape than everybody else. And then listen to Mark Cuban. You know, I'm still bitter at Mark Cuban, babe, just because, you know, Mark, he was supposed to give me a 10-day contract. He still hasn't. He said he's going to one of these days, but we'll find out. And then number 11. And babe, you know why you're number 11? You know why you're the 11th one? Because I wore number 11 in high school.
Oh, I love that. I wore that's so cute.
Oh, that's
that right now.
Russ, don't lie to your wife.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think you're number 11.
You're so quick on your feet.
She was number 11. Yeah, I had to save her for this week. You know, we had that. Well, we had the house at LRC. We had the house at LRC. Then it was the 11th Danger Talk. It was about the right time, you know. And so,
it was.
Babe, you know why I wore number 11?
Yes, I do.
Why? Tell them why.
Because it makes you look taller.
Yeah, it made me look taller, Jeff.
I thought he was going to say he wore number 11 because he knew someday he'd have a podcast and he'd want to make you the 11th guest. That's what I thought.
Stop, Jeff.
I'm romantic, but I'm not that far romantic. That may be you, Jeff Dye. But listen, Jeff, it looks like you got a tan, man. Looks like you've been somewhere.
I was in the Caribbean getting some sunshine, having a good time.
Yeah, it seems like it. I'm glad you got to enjoy it. Hopefully you were able to wear a mask along the way. But listen, Jeff, this has been amazing. Sierra, I love you.
I love you, babe. Oh, sorry. See, I told you I'm all about the interview. When I'm talking to you,
I'll make it seem normal. I love you guys. I love both.
We love you back too,
Jeff. Nova, I love you too, babe. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
Danger
you
Talk. I made it through my first Danger Talk. Okay. I think I'll be ready for whenever you would even want to have me.
But this
again,
House of LRC launch. Go check us out. Danger Talk. You know, we're back, Sierra. Hey. Episode number 11. Next week's going to be great too. But I don't think it could be anybody better than you, babe. Just telling you.
You're tough to follow.
Anyways, sweet.
Yeah. But anyways, thank you guys. Baby, I love you. And
love
I guess
you.
I'll see you later.
I'll see you, yes, in a few minutes.
See you in a second. Jeff.
We're out. Jeff. Love you, man. You guys are the best. Right. Thanks, CC. You're amazing.
All right. Jeff, you rock.
All right. See you guys. Danger Talk. Be out. House of LNC. Let's go.
Love, respect, care.